are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled Love and Wisdom, is the fourth message in the series, Respect the Beard. It's based on Song of Solomon and is taught by Pastor Frank Winans. For more information, visit woodbridgechurch.org.
Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to read a section from the Bible that I'm sure is not being read anywhere in the world today. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 3 through 7 says, "Like the finest apple tree in the orchard is my lover among other young men. I sit in his delightful shade and taste his delicious fruit. He escorts me to the banquet hall. It's obvious how much he loves me. Strengthen me with raisin cakes. Refresh me with apples, for I am weak with love. His left arm is under my head. His right arm embraces me. Promise me, O women of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and the wild deer, not to awaken love until the time is right." Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning in the name of your amazing Son, Jesus. Lord, once again, we've left our homes to come to this place, to this house, to meet with you, to worship you in spirit and truth, to sit at the feet of the one who made us. We pray, Lord God, for your voice to be upon us this morning. We ask that you would speak through your scriptures this day. We pray that your spirit would be upon us, that you would open our eyes and touch our ears, that we might hear your counsel into our lives. We thank you, God, for your goodness, for your love, for your presence with us this beautiful day. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you all may be seated. And as you do, we're in the fourth week of a series that we've been doing called Respect the Beard, right? Respect the beard. Beards are funny things. Little kids can't grow beards. You have to be walked on this earth a while in order to be able to grow a beard. And to even get gray in the beard, you have to walk on this earth a bit longer. Now, there's a section of books in the Bible called the wisdom literature. And in this section of books, God speaks to us about a variety of topics. And he tells us in these books that to listen to people that have walked on the earth a bit longer than you have, because probably God might be using them to impart wisdom and knowledge to you. And so we've been going through this series, and we've actually been having a lot of fun asking you to send in pictures of people with beards. And kind of, you know, if you can send us a selfie, that'd be cool. Somebody sent this one last week. This one's kind of cool. This is Emily, and she's at, I believe it was a preschool. And check out the dude up on the far right. Look at that beard. How do you measure that one? Do you think he's grown that in a week? No, right? Okay, here's another one. Check out this one. This is Rihanna. Boy, she loved that ice cream and thought, you know, respect the beard. I think her parents made an extra cone out of that. All right, here's another one. This one was sent to us by Leanne Bird. This is her great-great-grandpa. This was taken. This is Isaiah Wesley Corsby and his beard around 1900. Now, that's a beard, friends. Agreed? That's a beard. If you give that a grade, what would you give that one? Yeah. All right, how about this one? I think we got one more. there's no grade in there. There's really no gray in that beard. But if you hang out with Sterling, you will see that he does indeed have wisdom and a good man. So keep sending those into us. By the way, the vote was is you can't pass up the little one with the ice cream on that. So that one wins. So by the way, if it's a $10 gift card to Starbucks and see Vivian out there, and she's passing out the gift card, so it's kind of fun. Passing out the gift card. Good stuff. So, hey, guys, keep sending us pictures. It's a lot of fun. Good stuff. All right, so in this series we've been doing, we've made the statement, a good definition. What is wisdom? Wisdom is what? Wisdom is the application of knowledge, right? Here's a great saying in our society. Have you ever heard this a saying in our society that says, well, you just got to live and learn? Have you ever heard that before? Someone talking to you, go, well, just live and learn. Just live and learn. Well, he'll live and learn. In the wisdom literature of the Bible, it reverses that. It says it's a lot better to learn and then live. And if you do that, it's wisdom. That is the sequence. There's a shift of thought. When you open the Bible and you begin studying the wisdom literature, you will read throughout, it's more learn. Learn from those that have beards. Learn from the Almighty. Learn about a variety of topics before you live. And if you do this, your life will be better. Okay? Actually, take notes today, because I really want you guys, you go out to lunch today or you're in growth groups this week. Here's a truth this morning. Write in your notes. If they're right there, just take them, write them down. Here it comes. Ready? It is better to learn and live than to live and learn. It is better to learn and then live than live and learn. It's better to learn from God. It's better to learn from the counsel of God. It's better to learn and then live than just live and learn. Think about it as parents. Isn't that what we do as parents, people? As you're raising your kids and your kid has a knife in his hand, what are you going to tell your little toddler with a knife in his hand? Well, he'll just live and learn. Is that what we do, parents? Are you kidding me? We take the knife away. We try to instruct, to learn. This is sharp. You're not going to like this. Our job as parents is to train up our children to learn and then live. Am I right? It's the same with God. And so as a parent, I've raised three sons and journeyed through that process. And in the strategic journey of trying to raise our kids, my wife and I, as we were trying to do our best to teach our kids to learn before they live, one day, in parenting our kids, I, by the blessing of my wife, kidnapped my oldest son. It was around Christmas time. He was 13 years old. And my son Jonathan was down playing handball. And I drove up in my car and I said, Jonathan, get in the car. We need to go on an errand. And he just kind of looked at me and he gets in the car and we took off driving, and he was talking about stuff and here and there, and I just got him on the 5 freeway and just took off. And for about 20 minutes, he isn't even asking. And then we're getting close to Angel Stadium, and Jonathan says, Daddy, are we going to, like, get some tickets for Grandpa for, you know, an eight? Yeah, I'm like, that would be a good idea, and we just drove right past that. And after a while, he starts saying, where are we going? And I said, hey, no questions. And he kind of looked funny at me. I drove my son to Forest Lawn. And as we got off the freeway and we were driving, there's this big grass area. And my son says, is this where dead people are buried? And I said, it is. And I drove him. We went through the gate. You make a left, you go up, you walk down. And I took him to the grave of my mom, Jean Babette Eisen Winans, right? Who died when I was 9 years of age. And I took him to the gravestone, and I began to tell my son that he would have been the first grandchild of my mom. And I told my son how proud my mom would be of him, of the young man that he has chosen to become. And I told my son about what I remembered from my mom, of who she was, and we just kind of sat there a while. And it was cool. I cried and my son kind of welled up with. And while we were there a while, I ran back to the car and I said, Jonathan, stay right here. I have a gift for you. And I came back and my wife and I had bought him this. Now, this is a replica of a Roman two-edged sword. It was in a box. He opened it up. And as he opened it up, he pulled it out. And can you imagine what a 13-year-old would do with something like this? He was so excited. And as he's wielding it around and he's already fighting dragons, I said, Jonathan, let me tell you something about life. I go, life is a difficult place. Life is a hard place. And you as a child, you cannot stop growing up. You can't stop growing up. But you can control who you choose to be when you grow up. I said, Jonathan, someday I'm going to be in the ground, and someday you'll be telling your kids or your great-grandkids about me. What will you say about me? What kind of person was I? What did I live for? What was my values in life? And I asked the question, Jonathan, who do you want to be? What's the values that you want for your life? What do you want to be known for? I said, whatever you figure out what you want to be about, tell me what it is, and we'll engrave it on this sword. On the sword, my wife and I put the words engagement. And I told him this. I said, son, who you choose to become, you have to fight to be the person that you want to be. As a matter of fact, on this sword, he asked that we would put the words a hard worker. He wants to be known as a hard worker, and he is. He put the words family. He says, I want to be known as a man who loves my family. And he's living that out today. He's 25 years old. He wrote the words courage. He wanted to be a strong man. He said he wanted to be a soldier of the cross. What type of person do you want to be? I remember him saying, Dad, he goes, I don't want to grow up. I go, you have no choice in the matter. You're just going to grow up. But life's not Nintendo, right? Life's a tough place, and you got to fight to stand up for what it's all about. And I actually encouraged him, like, what do you want your life to be about? What's your life mission statement? What do you want to be about? And then be that person today, right? When you're in the ground and people start talking about who you are, what do you want them to say about you? Well, then be that person today. So they will say that about you. It's a life mission statement. Have you ever done one yourself? Where did I get these ideas? From the wisdom literature. It was a special day. It was a day that I'll never forget in my memory. We got back in the car, and instead of driving him home, I drove him to Las Vegas. He's never been to Las Vegas. Took him there for the weekend. Can you think of a better place to do the sex talk with your son than Las Vegas? Right? He was so excited, and to stay with the sword theme, we stayed at the Excalibur, and that night we got there, and he was all excited. It's me and my dad for the weekend. He's all really excited about this thing. And so that night we walked down the strip. He'd never walked down the strip before, have you? And there they are with these cards, smacking these cards. Call this girl and she'll sleep with you. And I'm walking here and I'm like, is that guy going to give that card to my 13-year-old son? Sure enough, my son is so excited. He takes the card and he looks at it and he goes, whoa, right? What's this? Billboards going by on the strip. Call this girl and she'll come to your hotel room and sleep with you. Can you think of a place, a better place than Las Vegas to have the sex talk? A place where people ruin themselves, right? Every morning, we would read the scriptures. We'd open the Bible and we would read in the wisdom literature. We would read the Song of Solomon. We would read Proverbs. Hey guys, is God pro-human sexuality or is God anti-human sexuality? Answer, pro. People, he invented it. Isn't it the kind of guy you want to hang out with? He thought it up. God thought the whole thing up. And God, out of the 66 books of the Bible, there is one book dedicated to human sexuality. It celebrates, it encourages human sexuality. Does anyone know what that book is called? The Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon. Not a lot of people are teaching the Song of Solomon today at church. People, God says that human sexuality is good. Between a husband and wife, it's good. Between Adam and Eve, it's good. God says that it's to be celebrated. It's to be protected. It's to be encouraged. Take notes this morning. Note number two says, the Song of Solomon is a picture of pure marital love that speaks openly and joyfully of human sexuality. Read the book. Note two says, Song of Solomon provides a model for how a husband and a wife were to feel toward one another and how they could express their feelings. The book is written in a purely poetic style, and it's full of imagery and emotion. It's R-rated. In the original language, in the Hebrew, it is even more explicit and graphic. In the time of Jesus, you weren't allowed to read it until you were engaged on your honeymoon. It's a book of scripture. Friends, this morning I want you to know that God, the God of heaven and earth, the God that created you and I, is pro-human sexuality. He's the author of it, he celebrates it, he consecrates it, and he encourages romance. He's dedicated a whole book to the topic in the Bible. But when you read the Song of Solomon, there's a warning label in the book. When you read the Song of Solomon in the 8 chapters, there's a warning label spread throughout the book. You want to know what the warning label is? Do not awaken love until it's time. That's the note of number 4. Do not awaken love until it's time. Song of Solomon 2:7 says this. Song of Solomon 3:5 says this. Song of Solomon 8:4 says this. Repeat it over and over again. So as you read these 8 chapters, scattered throughout it, there's a warning label in the midst of this book that you're not even supposed to read until you're getting real close to being married. But the warning label through it all is, don't even touch this thing until the right time. Don't awaken love until the right time. What time? Until you're married. Until you're married. I remember telling my son, that morning, first morning in Vegas, hey, Jonathan, God created sexuality as a beautiful thing. True or not true? So precious to God that he designed it to be protected in the confines of marriage. True or not true? This relationship that binds a man and a woman together as a husband and wife, they come together. They're married, they're enjoying their human sexuality, and what comes from this? Family, life, what a design, what a beautiful design. God is brilliant. From this comes life, from this comes families. But outside of this design, this system that God created, human sexuality is a dangerous thing that hurts and ruins people's lives. This is what I told my son, my 13-year-old son in Vegas. Did I give him wisdom or did I not? Where'd I get it from? The Bible. What we do in this world, friends, is we devalue what God created. What we do in this world, my friends, is we devalue what God created. As I was in the midst of trying to figure out how to do this talk with my son, and my wife and I going, babies, he's bar mitzvah age, you know, like this is a time, there's a, you know, we got it, and it's my job. If it was girls, this would have been all her, okay? But we had 3 boys. Just as we were in the midst of this, a good friend of mine, Dr. Anthony, Mike Anthony, right? One of my professors from Biola, a guy that became a great friend of mine and a good surfing buddy of mine. His daughter, his oldest daughter, they're in the midst of the same thing. And we're out surfing at Sano. And he's like, Frank, he goes, you know, man, I go, dude, I know. Okay, we got to teach our kids not to live and learn, but to learn and live, right? He says, Frank, we just did this the other week. We took our daughter out to the most plush restaurant we could find in Newport Beach. I said, really? He goes, we dressed up all nice. We took her out, candlelight. My wife and I, we had our daughter out. She was dressed up in a brand new dress that we bought for her. She was dynamite. She's like 13 years old as well. He says, during that course of that meal, he brought out a styrofoam cup. He brought out his coffee cup from his work. And they brought out in this box, this gold-laden like teacup. And they began to talk to their daughter. They said, Her name was Chantel. Chantel, how will you view your human sexuality? Will it be like this styrofoam cup, something to just use? It's functional and you just throw it away. It has no value or meaning whatsoever. He goes, a lot of people in the world value their human sexuality, Chantel. Are you going to value it that way? He says, I just brought this from my office. This is my office coffee cup. I leave it there. It's stained. It's functional. It works. I don't throw it away. I need it every day. He says, a lot of people value their human sexuality this way. He said, Chantel, you can value it this way. And they gave this girl this beautiful, expensive, gold-laden cup. Your human sexuality is so precious to God that it's to be highly valued and protected and saved for a time that's right. Do not awaken love until the right time. I'm out there with him in the water going, that's brilliant. My kids ain't going for a teacup. It ain't going to work. But I'm thinking swords, right? Okay, I got to do something different. But I like what he said. At least he's thought it through, friends, right? I'm not letting my daughter just live and learn. She's got to think this through. Do not awaken love to the right time. Well, what is that time? It's in the confines. God protects this. God created this most radical, awesome thing, this human sexuality thing. And he says, this thing is so amazing. I got to protect it within the confines of a committed marriage relationship. And within this thing is a blessing and it should be celebrated. And from this comes family. If you remove this from the setting, it wounds and hurts people's lives. False intimacy, sexually transmitted diseases, death, AIDS, abortion. Hey, Rabbi Feldman has a buddy from the Messianic Jewish Alliance. They just made a movie, and it's in your worship folder, and it's called Voiceless. And there's a movie that's coming out next week on abortion. And as a matter of fact, it's at the this Friday and Saturday. It's going to be shown at the AMC 30 in Orange, and Shuva is giving us free tickets to go to that movie. And if you go out to the courtyard and you see Vivian over at the Welcome Center, for those of you that won the Starbucks card, Merry Christmas. And if you want to see this, hey guys, to stop a beating heart is wrong. Nuclear energy can light up a city or it can annihilate a city, depending on how you use nuclear energy. Human sexuality can light up a life or ruin a life, depending on how it's being used. Amen? This is what I told my 13-year-old son. I said, Jonathan, God protects this thing before you get married and after. I love Proverbs 5. You ever read Proverbs 5? Proverbs 5 is in the wisdom literature, and it speaks about protecting your marriage, protecting your human sexuality in your marriage. We spent a lot of time reading and studying this chapter, and I thought maybe I might let you join us in that hotel room in Vegas. Proverbs 5, 1 through 6 says, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion, and your lips may preserve knowledge. What's the father saying? Son, learn from me before you live, right? For the lips of the adulterous woman drips honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths wander aimlessly, and she doesn't even know it. In Proverbs 5, the woman is symbolic of adultery. For a time, it looks good, right? It might make you feel better. But consider the end result of this path, pain. Is that true? Is that true? Is this wisdom just 3,000 years ago? Is that true today? Maybe ask the spouse that's been betrayed in a marriage that question, or ask the kids. God says, learn, think, before you live through an adulterous relationship. Proverbs 5, 7 and 8 says, "Now then, my son, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house." God's wisdom says to protect your marriage by keeping your distance from certain persons or places or websites, right? When I read this section, I think of Joseph and Potiphar's wife and how Potiphar's wife wanted to seduce Joseph. And what did he do? What was his battle plan? Do you guys know? He ran. He ran. Run away. Don't go near. In 1 Corinthians 6, 18, it says, flee sexual immorality. Run. Right? Run. It's funny. God's battle plan. If Satan's attacking you, what are you supposed to do? Stand firm in the Lord, right? Stand firm in the Lord. Put on the full armor of God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That's the battle plan of God with the devil. What's God's battle plan for sexual immorality? Run. And it's not in weakness you run. It's in strength. The weak one will stay. It's in strength you run. Because you're wise and you've thought this through. I protect myself. Protecting my marriage. Protecting my family. I'm not going near that place. That's not a weakness strategy. That's a strength strategy. You just stay away. It's not bad, huh? Proverbs 5, 9 through 14, lest you lose your honor to others. Check this out. Now then, my son, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near her, the door of her house, lest you lose your honor to others. At least you lose your honor to others and your dignity to the one who's cruel. Lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich the house of another. That weekend, while I was with my son, there was a young man that was in our college group at the time. He was actually like in our young adults group. And he had had a one-night stand with a girl. And he came here and cried and told me, "Pastor Frank, and he was convicted. He got her pregnant. 800 dollars a month child support for 18 years. That day in that hotel room, my son and I have a pencil and paper out. And I'm saying, "Jonathan, what is the scripture saying? You walk down this path, you will give your wealth to others." And there he was with pencil and paper at 13, figuring out how much, $150,000 this guy's going to, yeah. He was out of ministry. "Dude, you need to step back. You need to go get your life in order. You cannot be in ministry right now," right? And it becomes public. He loses his dignity. He loses his honor. He loses his wealth. 25-year-old kid. Boy, what a lesson to learn, right? What a lesson to learn. At the end of your life, Proverbs 5:11 says, you will groan. When your flesh and your body are spent, you will say, "How I hated discipline and how my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or turn my ear to my instructors." And I was soon in serious trouble in the assembly of God's people. Better to learn and then live than just live and learn, right? Regrets? You ever played the game, "If Only"? You ever played that game? "If only I had of." How many people have played that game? "If only I had of." Can I tell you straight up? You can never win that game. Ever. "If only I..." Don't even go there. Because you can never win that game. Just learn. Learn. Now listen to this. Pretty... Dude, is that just like wisdom right there? Boy, oh boy, beautiful. The scriptures go on. Proverbs 5, 15 through 19 says this. Look where God goes from this, right back to the Song of Solomon. He says, drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your strength overflow in the streets and your streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated or captivated with her love. The country that this was written is in the Middle East. In the dry and arid land of Israel, people, a well or a fountain brings life. Water brings refreshment, brings pleasure. So wonderfully is the marriage relationship described in Proverbs 5. God says to keep your eyes, your thoughts, and your attention where? Your marriage. Be captivated in your marriage. Be intoxicated in your marriage. This is where you drink from. This is where human sexuality is to be celebrated. Here, there's wisdom. Take notes this morning. You ready? And enjoy this conversation in growth groups this week, in small groups this week. God values our human sexuality. Write this down. God protects our human sexuality in the confines of marriage. And God tells us to protect our marriages. How's that for wisdom? This is what I told my son that weekend in Las Vegas. Right out of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. And I'm so glad that God had written the wisdom literature for me as a married man and for my sons. I am so thankful that God has written these down for us. Aren't you? If you could live your life the way God designed you to live it, would it be a good life? Answer? Yes. Good decisions equals a good life. Bad decisions equals tough life. Right? Learn it and live it. Let me ask a question this morning. You ready? Is there any perfect people in here this morning? Anyone? Has anyone been perfect in how they've dealt with their human sexuality? I'd like to meet you. Anyone? Perfect in any other area of your life? We learn, right? We live. We live and we learn again. Your righteousness is not found in your good works. What's so beautiful when I read and when I study this stuff and when, hey guys, your righteousness and how you get to heaven is not based on what you do. Is anyone glad to hear that? If you need to be really a good person in order to go to heaven, how good do you have to be? Answer? Jesus says perfection. Be ye perfect, as your Father in heaven is imperfect. Any perfect people in the room today? Anyone? For everyone else, there's the gospel. And that's the good news. The good news is that Jesus, the perfect one, came and died on a cross for you that aren't perfect, so that your shame and your guilt would be washed away in his blood before a holy God. Is that good news? Jesus, communion, right? He takes his sin on himself, your sin on himself, and he gives you his righteousness. You have been reconciled to the Father, and your sins will never be counted against you. I really like that verse. The day that I'm in the ground, I'd love for people to go, dude, his sins will never be counted against him. Frank Edward Winans, born June 29th, 1965, died I don't know when. His sins, he's with God now. His sins will never be counted against him. Why? Because of what Jesus did for him on the cross. All his sins. All. The gospel, the good news. Let it be known this day. Hey, guys, wisdom. Learn, right? Hey, parents, You've got to struggle with this. How are you going to tell your kids about this? Or will you? Are you just going to let them learn and live? Or live and learn? Or are you going to talk to them about it? Who talked with you? Hey, you're here today and you're married. Guard your marriage. That's God's words of wisdom. Guard it. Protect it. It's valuable. It's special. And the devil's coming for it. Guard it. Protect it. If you're here today and you're not married, don't awaken it till the right time. And God's laws are not restrictive, people. They're protective. That's a note I think I probably missed in there. God's laws are not restrictive. He's not up in heaven going, aha, ha, ha. He's up there saying, no, man, I want to protect you. Protect yourself. And live wisely, right? Isn't it cool that God speaks on all kinds of topics, especially in his wisdom literature? He's dedicated a whole book of the Bible to marital romance. He totally loves this thing. He created this thing. It's an awesome thing. He says, protect it. Don't awaken it and protect it. Okay? Who can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Father in heaven, I praise you this morning for your goodness. Lord, may we in this room not just be stupid, man. May we actually think it through. I pray, Lord God, that the wisdom from heaven would fall upon us and that, God, as we walk and live each day of life on this earth, we would walk as people that have a sense of learning from God, understanding the thoughts of God. May your voice speak into our lives in a plethora of issues, God, about friendships, about money and borrowing and lending, about parenting, about how to deal with sorrow and sadness, about philosophies of life and why we should live our lives. All these things are from you, O Lord God Almighty. May we just ponder your wisdom that you've given to us, God, especially in the Song of Solomon, in Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, in the book of Job. This section of books called the wisdom literature, we praise you, God, for sending these books to us and speaking into our lives through these books. And Lord God, but we praise you even more for that. We praise you for your son, Jesus. Because, Lord, as we study these topics, especially this one today, we're all sinners. We all fall short on this. If there's ever a need for the blood of Christ to wash us clean, it's on days like this, especially in topics like this. Lord, we embrace your forgiveness. We embrace your mercy and grace in our lives. We embrace the people that we are in your son, Jesus. And we celebrate God being made white as snow. We celebrate God that our sins has been cast as far as from the east as to the west. We celebrate the washing of Christ upon us because we're dirty. Lord, we pray for our youth at this church that they would be wise in how they would handle their own human sexuality. God, help us as parents this morning to have wisdom in how to speak into these kids' lives. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'd protect them and guide them and lead them. Teach us, Lord. Help us learn from you so we can live. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, I love that song because, you know, it just, you might be sitting there and saying, hey, you know, Pastor Frank just talked about virginity. That ship has sailed for me a long time ago. But hey, the blood of Jesus can make you white as snow, just like brand new. Isn't that amazing? Let's all stand at this time, and our service will continue over at the courtyard in the gazebo area. So we'd like to request all of you to just proceed to the courtyard. And while we're singing this song, we're going to be proceeding over there to the courtyard, and our service will continue with the baptisms. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Woodridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.